The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you, the 13th of February, day before Valentine's Day, folks. For all of you out there that have either been married for a while, you know, those are the kinds of holidays you tend to forget. So don't forget about Valentine's Day tomorrow, folks. Go tonight, all right, and do yourself a favor. That way you don't have to worry about it and pay the extra premium they put on those flowers and those cards on the day of Valentine's Day. But, it's always a pleasure being with you each and every day here, at least four times a week. My name is Jack Berugin. This is the Jack B Show. Welcome. This is the show, as we say in the introduction, where we try to bring pit smarts and street smarts together. And, you know, we're at that point now, folks. We're hitting these all-time highs in some of the indices. We're getting near to the all-time highs in these other indices, you know. And just to be specific here, we got the S&P and the Dow getting very close. They're within a couple of percentage points of, again, their all-time high. NASDAQ's still a long ways away, folks. And you know, you hear me saying that a lot. Which gives me the impression the market's a lot healthier, and we'll go through that. And a lot of you already explained it. I've explained that to you in a couple of other shows. But I do love this Russell, again, making another intraday all-time high, along with the mid-cap. The folks, I got to tell you, this is very important. And the reason is because it maintains the momentum of the market. Now, why is that important? Well, you know what? We had that big State of the Union speech yesterday. And I'll be talking a little bit about that. In fact, we've got a good show for you. We're going to bring Alan Rohr back on in the next segment for the rest of the show. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit politics with him, you know, something that we like to talk a little bit with Alan. But more importantly, the economics behind those politics and what it exactly means for us here as investors, as traders. Because I got to tell you, there were a couple lines drawn in the sand yesterday. Now, I think we need to take a step back. And I do want to talk about the president a little bit. And then we're going to go on and talk a little bit about the markets. Because there was a very interesting question posed to me, which had a little bit to do with what the president was talking about, but more to do with what we see happening in the oil markets. And it was something that Phil Flynn, of all people, posed to me. I brought Phil on our little market update segment. Now, those that don't know who Phil is, he is a commentator. He's a celebrity, folks. We see him on Fox Business all the time. Phil is actually a very good man. He's a good friend. Very colorful, very nice. And for those of you who, you know, get a chance to watch it, please go and watch that market update segment. It's on the CME's open market site. And we chatted a little bit, but one of the things he asked is WTI or Brent the benchmark now for oil? You know, it used to be where WTI wasn't looked upon. Brent was really looked upon as the benchmark because that's where the Europeans were using it. We, of course, look at WTI, which is the West Texas Intermediate. Brent, of course, is Brent North Sea oil. So the Brent North Sea contract, crude oil contract, is really what a lot of the Europeans priced on their markets. But I guess the real question, folks, that was posed to me in that market update segment and actually answered because, you know, Phil came up and gave us his opinion, is that the Cushing, Oklahoma crunch, the whole bottleneck of crude oil that was coming out of the Bakken Shale Reserve, out of the oil sands in Alberta, everything that seemed to be getting down into the Oklahoma region was getting bottlenecked there, and we were not seeing it turned into refinable oil. Now, the flip side of that is that we have seen a reversal of a certain pipeline called that Seaway Pipeway, and it's important. And I asked him if that was one of the reasons why we have to start looking at West Texas Intermediate as the global benchmark. And he absolutely assured us because that's exactly where it was going and that's where it was going to get refined. So what the WTI contract, folks, and this is very important to understand, is really the North American contract. And the reason that spread between those two contracts has been so wide has been primarily because of the fact that we have had this crunch in Cushing, Oklahoma. Now, what does it mean for us as traders and investors, and why is Berugin talking about this? Well, because there is this wide spread between those two contracts. And I want you to pay attention to that spread because that is the spread that's going to narrow. Much like the spread, if you remember correctly, that our good friend Aaron Reinglass was telling us about with the NASDAQ and with the S&P, how the NASDAQ always seemed to lead the S&P and it's outperforming. By the way, that has been gold. I don't know how many of you have been watching it, but it's been absolutely gold. It's been outperforming from the minute he said it, you know, and I've been watching it, and I went back and I looked at it, and it's been right on. It's something that we're going to have to pay attention to and talk about with him over the course of the next couple of months here, because I do not want to miss that. That's the trade, by the way, that we monitor as we continue to go. But I'm bringing this up only because a little bit of what was brought up in yesterday's State of the Union had to do with this indirectly. Okay, remember, you know, there was the old talk of energy independence. There's the talk of clean energy. Now, I'm not saying that the energy coming out of the Bakken Shale and out of the oil sands is clean. Far from it. In fact, if anything, that's dirtier oil. The bitumen that they pull out of that ground up there is a lot dirtier than anything else. It's got to go through a refinery process twice, you know. First, it's got to be upgraded, I think, and then it's got to be refined. But what I'm getting at, folks, is energy independence, all right? What I'm getting at is jobs. What I'm getting at are a few of the things that the president hit on yesterday. Infrastructure programs. He mentioned infrastructure at least three times in a speech yesterday. I want you to think about that for a second. Why is that important? Well, first of all, because, you know, on a global scale, we are far behind the rest of the civilized world in the replacement of needed infrastructure. I'm talking about the bridges. And here in Chicago, folks, we've got dozens of bridges that go over the various rivers and channels of the Chicago River that we see around here. I mean, it's, you wouldn't even think about it in a prairie city, in a flat city like Chicago. Yet here we are in a situation where our bridges are decaying. And, you know, we had that horrible accident that was up in Minnesota a couple of years ago. And, you know, we don't want to see any of that. Now, the real question is, how do we get there? How do we create a situation where, you know, we don't tax, you know, the living heck out of everybody in order to get where we want to get to? You know, it was something that Marco Rubio said in his address after the president's speech yesterday. And Marco Rubio gave the Republican, counterattack, if you want to call it. You know, I love watching that game played, by the way. You know, you get the speech and then you get the counterattack, as I like to call it. And basically, but what Marco Rubio said was that President Obama is obsessed with higher taxes. All right. Well, you know what? Look, and I'm not going to get into who's right or wrong, but let's assume for a moment that President Obama seems to be obsessed with taxing. Well, what's the alternative? Let's give him an alternative. What is that alternative? Well, the alternative is, of course, growth, is, of course, creating jobs. Well, where are we going to get those jobs? Well, we're going to get them through the creation of either clean energy or infrastructure programs or, dare I say it, as something that the president probably is not going to come right out and say, but behind closed doors more than likely is supporting, and that is the continued expansion of fossil fuels. Look, you know what? In his own way, I think that the president is going to be doing the ecological drill, baby, drill. In other words, you know what? He's already... I don't know if you noticed this, folks. They've already very, very quietly worked around the EPA, and they've got that the whole pipeline issue up in Nebraska worked out around the sands, and you know there's so much garbage around some of those decisions that are made. But I guess here's what I'm getting at: the seeds are planted. At least now they are, for certain job growth to start taking place. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Folks, I'm going to tell you that I think that over the course of the next few months, we are going to see job creation, maybe in spite of what the president's been saying and doing, but more importantly, because he is no longer going to be an obstructionist with certain things. Look, I was convinced that this speech that he gave yesterday was going to be that line in the sand where he was going to use the NLRB and the EPA. In fact, I even said it. They were going to be the henchmen. They were going to come on. They were going to do the dirty work. Yesterday's speech, folks, I think was a little different. I took that, I guess, message. Maybe I guess I'm the eternal optimist in my own mind, folks. And I've been saying this, and I said this to somebody else who's a diehard conservative, and they said, Jack, you're out of your mind. They said, you know what? He did everything that you said he was going to do. He drew the line in the sand with the Republicans. He talked about immigration reform. He talked about jobs. He talked about infrastructure. And I said, stop. I said, what did you just say? Jobs, immigration, infrastructure reform. How is any of that something that conservatives would not support? And you know what? I actually stopped him in his tracks. And the reason being because, I think it's important to understand that the first I guess, 18 months of the president's second term are when he becomes very zealous, right? I mean, look, this is his legacy now. He's going to make sure that he gets his legacy out there, so he's going to do whatever he can. You know, on the other hand, and this is very important to keep in mind, he wants to make sure that he can get things accomplished. You know, it was hard enough, all right, with doing what he wanted to do with health care. I think that cost a lot of political bullets for him. You know, it almost cost him the last election. I mean, let's face it. You know, had the Republicans put somebody up a little better than Mitt Romney, chances are I think they would have defeated the man. I think if McCain was up instead of Mitt Romney, you know, the first time around, I think we, you know, would have been a little better. But anyway, that goes without saying. It was a series of circumstances, folks. And let's be honest. All right. The Republicans shot themselves in the foot. And this is the party that I vote for and support openly. I wear GOP on my badge, folks. All right? You know, the grand old party. So, look, I know. But there are things that are said by some of these Republicans that just make me want to crawl into a hole and cover up and say to myself, what are they smoking? I mean, that's just insane. But anyway, you know, the reality is that there's a lot of soul searching going on in the Republican Party. So when you're talking about jobs, when you're talking about immigration reform, when you're talking about infrastructure programs, and when you're talking about energy independence, you're talking about the conservative mantra. What you're not talking about, though, is, of course, how you get there. That's where we differ. You know, see, that's really the problem. I mean, you know, yesterday in a lot of what the president was saying, you can't argue against it. You can't argue against job creation. You can't argue against immigration reform. Look, and if you are, and if you want to argue against immigration reform, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, you better start double thinking about it. You know, as the son of an immigrant, and my father probably had the hardest nose attitude towards immigrants, that, you know, because he waited 7 years to come here, folks. All right. So, I mean, you wanted to talk to somebody, my dad will tell you. But on the other hand, we've got 11 million undocumented people in this country. I mean, you know, they're not going anywhere, folks. We've got to do something. Worse yet, those that we want to keep here, those that we educate, those that come here in a proper way. And I've got a perfect example. I've got a young Bulgarian kid who came here as a judo champion in high school, did 4 years of college here, educated himself, went out there. He's working 3 jobs right now and is trying to become a citizen and cannot. I've written letters for the man. He's got 2 children here now that were born here. Those kids are American. But he has to go back because we have got some very convoluted immigration laws here. And again, I'm bringing that up as a personal anecdote only because I think that I just found it to be absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. He came here, got a degree, we educated him. The man is working jobs, paying taxes, raising his children, living the American dream, all right? And we won't let him do it legally. So now he's got to go back to Bulgaria because he needs to do it legally. He knows that. And I'm bringing that up, folks, because there are so many people like that, whether they be Polish, whether they be Armenian, whether they be Mexican. Again, you know what? This is a problem that is not just at the southern edge of our border. This is a problem that is across the United States. But more importantly, folks, and I mean this from the heart, there's a real intellectual capital drain that's taking place because of the immigration laws the way they're set right now. That, to me, is the biggest problem. That, to me, is what does not make sense, what needs to be corrected. When we take somebody into this country, onto our shores, and it doesn't matter, you know, if they pay for their education or not, the fact is that what we offer them through our educational system is world class, folks. All right? We are preparing that mind to be a leader, hopefully here. And again, it's a global leader, but you want them to stay here. And again, so when we're talking about some of the things that the president brought up yesterday, understand, none of that is something that the Republicans are going to argue against, except for excessive spending. And that is really where the line has to be drawn. But more importantly, and this is something that we have to keep in mind, you know, you have got an agenda now that is not only the president's, But now the central bankers. Keep this in mind. You know, I've tried to explain that to somebody, and I always say trade the market that you have, not the market you want. The reason is because the market we have right now is one where you've got a liberal agenda being pressed by a president and central bankers that are more than happy to accommodate that. They are ready to print up as much money as humanly possible, or as much money as the liberal governments that are setting policy want them to. It's not only here, folks. It's everywhere. All right, we're going to take a few minutes. Don't go away. Got a lot more coming for you.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. And as promised, folks, I told you we were going to bring him in here. I have got the one, the only Alan Rohrbach. In fact, Alan, I don't know if your ears were burning. We had our very good friend, our mutual friend, Aaron Rheinglass on the other day, and we were chatting a little bit. And your name always seems to come up whenever we talk, either on the air
it's
or off
lies.
The air.
It's all lies. I didn't do it.
Well, I know you guys are close, but hey, you know what? His badge was NRA on the floor when he was a member and a trader, and I know that his politics lean to the right. I know yours lean a little to the right, too. I'm not ashamed to admit mine do, but give me your thoughts on yesterday's speech. You know, I don't know if you were listening to what I was talking about, how, you know, the things that he was basically saying you can't object to, you know, if you're right of the aisle, except for excessive spending. You know, how are you going to get there? What is the path that's going to take us to job creation, to infrastructure improvements, and all the rest of it?
Well, two things on that, Jack. One is there were not a lot of surprises because it is still about spending. My summary perspective yesterday morning to clients was the word for the week is invest, which in Democratic Party, and especially the president's parlance, means spend, 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 tax, tax, tax.
What? No, no. Here, let's stop. I'm gonna. I had the same argument with somebody earlier today. Not an argument, but a discussion. And I said to them, if indeed that is the case, all right, then how are you going to create jobs? Because that would be.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, I mean, right. You know, because here is somebody who is bent on creating jobs because he does not want to leave office with a legacy of high unemployment. I think that is one of the things that President Obama, to me, again, I might be getting this completely wrong, Alan, but to me, I think this president does not want to leave office as being the president that left everybody without a job.
I believe that is true in terms of what his goals are, but whether his means will reach that end is another matter. I believe the community organizer-in-chief has tremendous power now to make things happen in the manner he wants them to happen. And the end result, he's still confident that, you know, we're just going to keep hammering away at the same approach. It just needs a little more time. It's like a trader fighting a market, Jack.
So do you agree with what Marco Rubio's assessment was after the speech when he gave the Republican response and he said that President Obama is obsessed with raising taxes?
Well, if not obsessed with raising taxes, obsessed with the spending that requires the taxes to be raised. You see, I think it's that cart and horse situation. And Rubio, I must say, they squandered a wonderful opportunity there.
You know, they gave, you know what, they jumped on him a lot harder than
the content was excellent. They, on style points, of course, it's a very tough, as more than a few commentators acknowledged, it's a very tough brief to have the opposition response to the State of the Union address, given just the sheer setting. I'm standing here in a very nice office alone. This guy's sitting there with hundreds of people applauding everything he says.
Well, yeah, and more importantly, I mean, I call it the counterattack only because, you know, you could see it. But I guess, was there anything in that speech yesterday that you saw that would lead you to believe that there's any, I guess, olive branch being tossed out to the right? Is there any, you know, did you feel anything that made you feel warm and fuzzy, or did you hear anything that made you feel warm and fuzzy in yesterday's speech?
Well, Jack, as you mentioned, you know, everything was put in very constructive terms, but the truth is, no, there wasn't a single point on which he didn't even, once again, further expand the types of things he wants to do that he says are completely budget neutral, and we all know, well, that's not really true, but secondly, more importantly, is the degree to which, and I know you want to discuss the political economics now, coming out of the speech into what the context is.
I was about to ask that right after you were done with your comment.
But let me tell you first how little news there was. The right commentators that I listen to, on the right, but also the ones on the left, say these State of the Union addresses have turned into just a wish list of the incumbent. I mean, they don't have, they're only vaguely related to reality. And Jack, here is today's Financial Times. You notice the beautiful script scroll Financial Times at the top instead of the usual, you know, blocky sort of font. This is the 150th anniversary edition of the Financial Times, February 13th, 1888. 125, pardon me, not 150. Thank you.
I'm looking at it, folks. He's, that's the only reason it. I knew it.
Okay.
All right, he's showing it to me.
And guess how much coverage of the speech there is in here?
Nothing.
Not a word. Not
wow.
A column. Not a blurb. Not on the back where Lex Column does the topical stuff.
So what you're saying is it doesn't matter.
It was a meaningless exercise that was not going to change anything. And what I'm particularly intrigued with is the degree to which, and as I mentioned in my analysis for clients today and in my blog post on Monday at Roarblog, ROHR-blog, just search engine it, folks. Soon that'll be the actual URL. But right now, ROHR-blog, is it possible, flush with the election victory, and with the yes men around him, who he has always surrounded himself with, the president might be overestimating the strength of his position when it comes to getting the Republicans to put through another kick-the-can compromise.
Which means what?
Which means the sequester is going to bite.
Okay, so it means that there's going to be a real battle that takes place, or in the next couple of months. So I guess
wait, next 2 weeks.
Well,
sequester
here.
is 2 weeks from Friday, March 1st. Now, just I'll have one quick summary statement on that. The moderate Republicans who compromised last time, and now the Democrats are saying, well, that's the form for all the future activity on this is, we'll give you some spending cuts. You'll get us yet more revenue. The moderate Republicans are not in a position to compromise again.
Politically, you don't think that you think they've essentially, you know, wasted their ammunition?
Well, more so, whatever ammunition they've spent, they could say is constructive. They start compromising again, there'll be a lot of funding from all the usual sources for candidates to their right that will start campaigning on March 2nd.
Well, here, let's get to the economics of this. I've got a liberal agenda being pressed in D.C. You know, I mean, a president that is, you know, bent on spending. We've, I guess, agreed to that. I've got a Federal Reserve and other central bankers that are very willing to accommodate, or so it seems. You know, I mean, I saw Lord Turner come out the other day from the FSA out in London and say, look, we're saying it behind closed doors. We need to inflate. We need to print money. It's as simple as that.
Look at the watered-down statement. You got our G7 on the Japanese devaluation.
Explain that, would you please? Because I know I want to talk about that, but it goes right into what we're saying.
There was a statement from G7, the group of seven countries, which are the major developed industrial countries, that they are not that concerned as yet about currency devaluations, currency rate adjustments, like such as the weakness of the yen that has been very pronounced over the past 5 months or so.
20%! It's been amazing, the movie scene there.
And that was interpreted as the market as, well, gee, it's you know, anything goes. They had to come out with a clarification saying, oh, no, don't think for a minute. We're just framing the issue. Don't think for a minute. We aren't concerned about the weakness of the yen, and the yen then shot up tremendously against the dollar yesterday. So what we have is a situation where these, very interestingly, and we discussed this in the last program last week, about Mario Draghi at the ECB meeting and what he would have to say about it. And he basically said, we're going to rely on G20 assessment, on the group of 20, the rapidly developing economies, you know, Russia to some degree, but especially China and others, India, have such economic clout now that they've been invited into the club, and it's an expanded club, and they meet Thursday into Friday, and we'll have pronouncements on Friday. And the bottom line is, if they don't come out and say that they are for some type of controls on currencies, everyone's going to view it as a beggar thy neighbor competitive currency situation, which is going to get pretty nuts.
You and I know that a currency war is probably the last thing that we need right now, especially with all the other problems
that won't help jobs.
How about that? All right, let's take a few minutes, and then when we come back, get Alan's assessment on Europe and everything else that he's been talking about.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, for the second half of the Jack B. Show on this Wednesday. And you know, usually we get Alan in on Thursdays. I like to get him in at the end of the week because we try to get a feel. But as he just pointed out to me, it's not only Valentine's Day tomorrow, but it's his wife's birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Karen!
A happy birthday to Karen Rohrbeck. You know, I got to tell you, she has got to be a very, very wonderful woman to have married you. But more importantly,
A great judge of character.
I was going to say, my friend, are probably a very, very lucky man. You know?
I am indeed.
Much like me, you probably married up, is what you did.
no doubt about it, Jack.
Hey, Alan, there was a lot going on out in Europe. With the meeting and everything else. Give us a quick summary. You know, you touched on the G20. You touched on Draghi. There's a lot happening there. Fill us in a little bit of what you're seeing, because you are probably one of the foremost experts on European. I guess if nothing else, just the news that's taking place out there and the feel for what's going on out there.
Well, thanks for that, Jack. And yeah, I try to stay on top of that perspective. I have clients out there and in London, of course, in the UK. And also, it just can be very influential at times. As you put it, lately, the focus has been more on the fact that the U.S. seems to be getting through the headwinds, at least for now. But there's something happened today with Europe that you will appreciate. On top of equities remaining strong, and we had said for a while in the research, and I believe I mentioned it on the air, the government bonds were holding in pretty well, though, considering how far the equities are up on the year. The bonds took a hit right there in the 1st of January, but then we're holding in pretty well. I called that the hostage to fortune holding action. The hostage to fortune the government bonds were leaving out there was that equities didn't continue to do so well that ultimately the bond psychology got hit. Now, interestingly enough, these are happening seemingly independent of each other. There is some flow back out of bonds into equities, but more so, equities are attracting new money from the sidelines, and bonds aren't really being dumped yet,
I have a theory about that, Alan. Yeah. I think, remember, and I told you this before, I think it's because of the demographics. I think that, you know, you got more and more people that are investors that will never get out of those bond positions, regardless of what happens, because they are going to have, now that they're in their 60s and 70s, they are just looking for pure preservation.
Capital preservation, and they figure if they're in a 10-year bond, as long as people live, if you're 70, 65, 70, even 75, you figure, hey, if yields go up and the bond values go down, because folks, as Jack has explained many times, when bond yields go up, the value of those bonds go down. It's an inverse relationship. But if you hold them to maturity and it's a government bond, well, they'll run the printing press and hand you your money back. You don't worry about not getting paid. It is surety of capital return.
There was a comment made in the UK the other day by the chairman of the FSA, and they were talking about that on TV. He came out, Lord Turner, I believe is his name, where he's saying what they're talking about behind closed doors. And I guess he made it public for the first time in a speech. I don't know if you caught any of that, but a lot of that seemed to do with the fact that they are ready, willing, and able to start printing money up as soon as needed across Europe. I mean,
I got that as a clear message, especially with what we see happening here with our Fed. And I guess, I mean, how much of that do you see in reality, and how much is just being, you know, is rhetoric being tossed around?
No, there is no doubt the central banks will print money, but the question once again is, how does that translate into jobs? It's not the money supply right now. The volumes of bank balance sheets have ballooned, and no one's looking to take them down. It's the velocity of money, which is, are your businesses wanting to invest and hire?
Well, it's not only that, but it's also looking at soybeans at $14 a bushel going up to, say, you know, $30 a bushel. Looking at corn from 7 up to 10 or 12
dollars. On the economy.
Absolutely.
So it's a little bit counterproductive. And one of the things that showed up in exactly that vein, Jack, today is the Bank of England quarterly inflation report came out. And the market that got slammed and was the downside leader early in the year. And, folks, this is the equivalent of the U.S. 10-year note, because the 10-year yield is the what they call the long gilt. And it was trading, at about 119% of par value at the end of last year and dropped quickly to 116 first of January, much like all the bond markets got hit. But then it's held on around 116 ever since that first week in January. So you're talking about the better part of a month and a half. Well, today it dropped through 116 to 115, new low for the break. And the driver for that, aside from equities staying good, which weighed on the German bond, the Bund, et cetera, is the quarterly inflation report from the Bank of England said that what's the probability inflation will remain above target, which it has for quite a while in the UK, currently at about 3%. The projection said, well, in the near term, it might drop down to 2, but it could also go up to 4. But what's the chance to stay above target, which is 2%, much like us? And back in November, they said that into first part of 2013, there is an 80% chance. Now there's a 90% chance the inflation just isn't coming down. And that maintains that back in November, they said, well, by the first quarter of 2014, maybe only a 40% chance. That would revised up to about a 70% chance.
In essence, in short, what you're saying is that
inflation's going to stay worse.
They're getting more inflation than they anticipated.
I think it's going to stay high.
Well, the question is whether we're going to see it here. I mean, you know, look, Japan is force-feeding inflation with what they're doing with the yen.
Right.
You're seeing it happen out in the UK. Obviously, Europe is going to have to print their way out of their problems just like we're doing. When do you think we start seeing it actually affect prices, or has it already?
I believe it has already, and I don't have the link with me, but I'm going to go back and get it. But in this daily paper I put out, it's an aggregation type service, and they send me all kinds of stuff from fairly aggressive thinkers, people like Zero Hedge, this guy who calls himself Tyler Durden, it's a pseudonym, and Keith McCulloch and Larry McDonald and Quality Sources. And Zero Hedge put on a link from a guy at, I forget the name of the bank, who did chapter and verse. And I will send you that link, and you can share it with your listeners, Jack, about the real implications of what happens if rates go up just 1% on the amount of your annual debt service now that we have such a huge debt. If it goes to 4%, our debt service becomes roughly $1 trillion a year just to service the debt. You've been over this before, Jack. I know.
Yeah,
but the
question is, will they let it get there?
But that's the point. They may have no choice. They rebased inflation going back in the 90s. And that was the most fascinating part, that if you look at the non-rebased inflation indications, they're much higher than the Fed is reporting. Fed's saying about whatever it is, 2% now, 2.5%, whatever it is, 1.8 core. Guy's saying that's wrong. It's actually more like 3.5 to 4 right now. But they've managed to bamboozle everybody into still buying our bonds because they think it's still the, as Bill Gross likes to say, from PIMCO likes to say, the cleanest shirt in the hamper.
Yeah, you know what? You could see it happening, Alan. I mean, you and I know the ancillary effects of everything that we're going to be, you know, that we're doing right now, that the Fed is doing, that they're doing out of D.C. is going to affect the prices of just about everything that we trade in every market. I mean,
right.
You know, you could see it going up. All right, let's do this. Let's take a few minutes, come back, and talk a little bit about what's coming out later on this week. Talk about retail sales, which came out actually a lot better than people expected. And more importantly, talk about what the feel you might have as far as the technicals. This market seems to be spinning its wheels. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull and Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull and Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for this Wednesday. And again, just as a programming note, if you go to Open Markets, folks, you will see not only my handsome face, but Phil Flynn, celebrity from Fox Business. Of course, he was the one who joined us today talking about WTI and Brent and what is now the benchmark, WTI or Brent. In fact, Alan, you'd love it. In fact, what he was talking about was the fact that now with the Seaway reversal of the pipeline, that WTI is becoming the global benchmark that people are going to be paying attention to, more so than Brent, which is the North Sea equivalent of what we trade here. But anyway, I thought it was interesting enough to where
it is interesting because the other big news there is that we're going to be exporting it. So it's going to affect the world price. It's not going to be some little backwater U.S. price.
Isn't that amazing? You know, think about where we were when I was a kid. kid in 72 when we had the oil embargo, 72 and 73. I remember what it was like standing in line with my dad for gas. And just the fact that we'd be exporting crude is just phenomenal. Hey, Alan, I saw a retail sales number come out today. During the break, you said it wasn't as great as you think, Jack, because there were components within it that were kind of weak. Why don't you go into that and kind of tell us what you're feeling for the rest of that?
Just even the overall number. I always look at X autos and gas. I care less about autos and gas, whether you know what the turnover was there, because that can be subject to seasonal financing deals in autos, and gas, you know, fluctuates up and down. So let's say what people are buying other than these major big-ticket purchases like an automobile or something that just fluctuates randomly like gasoline, and it was up 0.2, but that was actually against an estimate of up 0.4, and the headline number that was kind of on target at about plus 0.1, year-on-year it was minus 1.3. Now, I'm not saying, as we always caution people, Jack, and any quality analyst cautions people, you can't take 1 month's number and say, oh, look, it came in under. It can be fluctuating within a broader trend where maybe retail sales are getting better. But this is the first number of the series for the beginning of this year where payroll taxes went up. For all of Mr. Obama's cheering about, we prevented income taxes from going up on the middle class, lower middle, middle, upper middle, everybody who is a worker, you know, not dividends, not interest, not capital gains, but if you're out there working, you had a tax increase starting January 1.
Do you think people have realized that yet, or do you think it's going to hit them?
That
I think that's really
is
the question.
What's going to be reflected in these numbers across time? I want to keep an eye not on this retail sales number for January, but in March and April.
The trend that it actually sees.
The February and March numbers, let's see the trend. And if it's going flat or, God forbid, negative, and suddenly these geniuses in Washington wake up and go, hey, you know what? Taxes went up on everybody, and look at what's happening. That top-line growth we need for both the big corporations, but especially the small businesses. Because one thing I reported on yesterday, Jack, was NFIB is still down right around 89. The National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Confidence Survey, that's abysmal. And a new high was hit. We hit another new high, Jack. Stock market went to a new high. A new high was hit in the number of businesses, small businesses, who said the political uncertainty is the reason I have very little confidence my business is going to improve. 30%, a net 30%.
Well, see, it's a little different when you're talking a small business. I run, you know, a couple of small businesses, as you well know. I'm very sensitive to the changes that came out of D.C.
Right.
You know, as more so, I think, than, say, somebody who's running a multinational that's got, you know, 200,000 or 100,000 people working for them, where it's just, it's just a number. If they lay off, you know, a couple of thousand people, it's just a headcount issue for them. When I have got, you know, 20 people that I'm looking at, if I'm laying off one or two of them, you know, these are human beings that I'm looking at in their eyes. So it's a lot more difficult for me to hire them because I don't want to have to lay them off. And I think that people don't realize that, especially when you're running a small business.
Well, and this also feeds right into the business context of this currency wars, or I call them, yeah, maybe currency wars. Some people have said that's overstated. You at least have some pretty aggressive currency skirmishes
Is there going to be a currency war? Do you think we're going to see a full-fledged?
I think there already is a battle. It's lower level, though. It's more like a currency
war. It's machine gun fire. We're not seeing
the
heavy artillery out yet.
Skirmishes. Yeah, it's not a full war. Little skirmishes at the border. But think about how this affects businesses in Europe that still have not reformed all of those old labor laws, where they not only are seeing lower top-line turnover. Someone even said that France is really losing its standing at the core of Europe as one of the leaders.
A good example, which is a small example, is the fact that the Venezuelan currency, which was devalued by Chavez, actually affected the earnings reports that came out with a few of the companies because their numbers out of Venezuela were absolutely now adjusted downward because
right.
of that. But, Alan, what are you looking at over the course of these next few days that are important
for
you?
Well, it gets back to Europe and how things are really going. First of all, the G20 finance ministers. In the Friday, you've got to be ready to hear whether or not they're going to really take somewhat more aggressive
look. G7 kicked a can to the G20, did they not?
Yeah, they basically said, we're not concerned, but then said, we take it back. We didn't mean we're not concerned, we're trying to frame it. But of most interestingly, one, the G20 meeting, Thursday into Friday, is in Moscow. giving Putin and Russia more standing. Two, Thursday, interestingly enough, we get a Bank of Japan rate decision, which is going to be to actually put the rate negative is the projection. They're going to have a negative 0.2% interest rate.
They are really, see, they're doing exactly what I said we needed to do. If you remember, a negative interest rate, do not pay banks for keeping their money in reserves and push out that inflation target.
We will be reading the statement for exactly that sort of context, see if they cast it that way. You also get on...
I think we get China back online. You know, usually people take a full week off, but the banks banks come back online, I think, Thursday and Friday.
Thursday, you actually get the Chinese actual foreign direct investment. And along with that on Thursday...
Yeah, it's their first day back, I believe, after the Chinese New Year.
No, they're still... The holidays all week. They're just releasing the data anyway.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah, absolutely. No one's in the office. They're just releasing. And you also get this. You get the French, German, Italian, and Eurozone GDP tomorrow. You also get Friday, you get the Chinese MNI flash business sentiment indicator for February, current reading. So that's going to be very interesting. And you're going to get UK retail sales and some kind of interesting U.S. number, industrial production, Michigan confidence, etc. But as importantly of what we get to finish this week, I think... It's very important to look out into next week already for two reasons. One, the sequester debate will get more intense, and the Republicans don't look like they want to compromise at all right now. And if that continues, it could have an impact on the equities. And, of course, next week, more on Europe, where you get the German ZEW on Tuesday. And you're going to get later on in the week.
Well, we'll get you
all
in.
The flash PMIs. Come
we're
going to
get
Thursday.
You in, Alan, and you're going to be able to talk about that with us. Fastest hour of my day, folks. I want to talk. Thank Alan Rohrbach here. And again, you know, let's wish his wife Karen a very, very happy birthday tomorrow. And for all of you out there, again, pay very close attention not only to what Alan was talking about, but a lot of news coming out of Europe, which means that when you wake up, you will see the markets reacting. This is Jack Berugin. I'll be talking to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.